I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please do be seated. Well, I was speaking with the Archbishop of Canterbury this week. Bishop Allen introduced me. He said, Archbishop, this is Charlie. He's Vicar of St. Mark's Putnow in Bedford, and he's also Deputy Mayor. The Archbishop said, oh, how long have you been in Deputy Mayor for? I said, about 6 years. He goes, and you're not Mayor yet? Don't tell Dave. It's wonderful to be going into the summer weather, isn't it? Some brilliant days we've had just recently. Hope, like me, you feel that the memory of the 100-day cold is long over. Do you remember the horrible cold we all had through winter? And we're now in these wonderful halcyon days of July and August. Napoleon Bonaparte said, if I had to choose a religion, the sun as the universal giver of life would be my God. Well, it didn't do him much good, did it? We've just been celebrating 200 years since the Battle of Waterloo. But I know what he meant. I know what he meant. The sun is beautiful. It cheers us all up. I had a burial in the Woodland Burial Ground at Keyser this week. And even as it was getting into evening, the sun was there. It was beautiful. It was warm. And that is great. Now, I'm looking forward to summer. And, of course, we're in ordinary time now, the green season. No special things happening, no Easters, no Christmases or Trinities or Pentecost. It's just the business of ordinary life, and the sun's shining and all is well with the world. I can tell you it's always nicer being on the door of the church in the summer than it is in the winter, because when people go out in the sunshine, it's true, they're so much happier, everything is nice. And of course, we've got a little picture of what today's a special day, and there you go. The summer solstice today, the 21st of June. And this is when the northern part of the earth is tilted on its axis towards the sun. So we're going to have all this lovely, lovely sunshine and things to enjoy. So get the barbecue out, parties, and enjoy the sun. But of course, spare a thought for those people who are in the southern hemisphere. Because, of course, the geographical fact is that just as we're going to have lovely, warm, sunny times, this is the cold and darkest time of their lives. As we enjoy sunshine on one part of the world, the other is, I'm sorry to say, not going to find it quite as nice. It doesn't mean that God is punishing people in the south and rewarding people in the north. The weather it just happens like this. And you can kill that now. You can, if you want to see it again, you can look in on the website, because we put it on the website for you. It doesn't mean that God is punishing us. And it's true also that when we go through stormy times or difficult times or dark times, it doesn't mean that God is punishing us. There was a time in the story from Mark's Gospel today when those disciples thought they were going to die. They thought that their lives were coming to an end. And this is one of those times when you think that there's no return to safety. For them, it was fear of drowning. For you and I, there'll be times that when we feel like that. It might be a death or a divorce or a serious illness or a disability or loss of a job. Whatever. There are times when life appears to be tumbling down and the moorings which we thought were secure are tested. Now, here's something that you might think it's unusual for me to say. But listen carefully. Our faith may enable us to avoid some of the disasters which might otherwise trouble lives. Now, by that I don't mean that God will cause the sun to shine on our little bit of the garden any more than he'll find us a parking space when we go to Tesco's. That God isn't manipulative in that way. However, I do see every reason to expect that those people who live their lives according to the teachings of Jesus will, by virtue of their godly living, avoid many of the pitfalls which might otherwise befall them. Now, that's a very interesting thing to say. As a simple example, Christians are much less likely to go to prison because they don't steal. Or they certainly should avoid stealing. That's an obvious one. A good Christian is more likely to forgive and avoid the destructive cycles of retribution and violence. As Christians, we're taught to be mindful and caring and thoughtful towards other people, not to be selfish. And that kind of a life has its blessings. We're not as tempted, I hope, as Christians, by the incredibly self-centered, self-absorbed aspects of our materialistic and secular culture, which causes people to think that they're somehow going to be fulfilled when actually what they're pursuing gives exactly the opposite, i.e. a lack of fulfillment. And so many people, therefore, now leading dysfunctional lives. So Christians, I would suggest, might be less likely to get involved in drugs or gambling or something like that. Christians are not immune from depression, physical illness, and all of that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm saying. However, if you live your life following the teachings of Christ, then that is good for you. That is good for you. It's an excellent model of life, and you will be more joyful, and you will be more fulfilled. And we've got to say that a little bit more often, probably. I might even suggest that as a Christian, you're less likely to be unemployed. Because if you're hardworking and you believe that an honest day's pay deserves an honest day's work, then your employer is more likely to hang on to you. And therefore, there's less chance of you being made redundant. Living the Christian life is good for you. But this isn't prosperity theology. I'm not saying that being a Christian means that God rewards you with blessings. That's not what I'm saying at all. And neither does God place the Christian in a bubble. In some cultures, merely being a Christian will get you killed. Christians will have all the terrible things happen to them that everyone else has. We'll still have car accidents, still have diseases, cancer, we'll still suffer bereavements. All those kinds of things will happen. Because we live in the world where some are in darkness some of the time and some are in light and all the rest of it. But being a Christian will do much to help you keep your life on track. You will be better physically, mentally, and spiritually because of your faith. And I'll argue that all the day long. Nevertheless, there will be stormy seas. So what happens when the stormy seas comes along? You've got another picture for us this morning, haven't you, Mike? Now, this is a picture which I saw as I was wandering around Boulogne Cathedral. Forgive my French. And it's an image, and I was looking at it, thinking, well, it's nice because it's cedar from the Lebanon. It's a picture of a little boat with Mary holding Jesus. And I'm thinking, well, what's the point of that? Of course, you think about it a little bit longer, as these things are meant to encourage you to do. And of course, the boat is a really important image in Christianity. It's very important from our heritage. You'll remember Noah, when he was given a boat to keep him from the floods and to keep him safe with his family. But the boat's always been a really important symbol in our faith. We're not saying that Jesus actually went to sea in a boat with his mummy. That's not the point at all. It's a figurative boat with a spiritual meaning. If you walk into a church, an old church, or a cathedral, you'll walk into often the nave, the big part of the cathedral. And it's called a nave because it comes from the Latin word navis, meaning ship. It's like ship. And often if you sit and you look up in a big old church or a cathedral, you'll see the roofs like a boat, like the inside of a boat. Some are more like it than others, but the idea being that the church is like a vessel, like a boat, which will keep you safe. The best example probably of the cathedral, have you been to Ely? They call that the Ship of the Fens, don't they? The Ely Cathedral, the Ship of the Fens. And the point being that the church is a place of sanctuary, a place of safety. And the disciples had this understanding that when they were in the boat with Christ, because of what they'd done and because he'd saved them from the stormy seas, that they were safe with Jesus. The boat is a symbol of reassurance and encouragement to pilgrims as they come to the cathedral, whether it's Boulogne or whatever, that in the midst of the stormiest seas, Christ beckons us to a place of safety. Yes, our Christian lives will do much to keep our lives on track, but we will hit stormy seas. And when those stormy seas come along, the safest place to be is with Christ. The point is that Christ is alongside us in all that we go through. And with our faith and trust in God, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable us to cope better with the wreckage of death or the destruction of broken relationships or whatever. From all of these, the Christian's empowered by God to be able to rebuild and to have renewal. Christians will go through those times of trial, will experience the times of darkness. God's made us so that we can turn to him and find that that safety and security. And of course, from those times of trouble, we grow. It was Billy Graham, the evangelist, who said, "Comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has." And what he means is that we learn from these experiences as we go through that rebuilding and renewal with Christ. There's an old story about a farmer, and he scratched a living on the foothills of the mountains near desert lands. And one day he found and he captured a beautiful white stallion. And all of the neighbours gathered together and they congratulated him. And they said, "You're a really fortunate man. God has blessed you." I said, "Well, thank you very much." The next day, his son jumped on the horse and he decided he's going to try and, you know, train it. And he fell off the horse and he broke his leg. And the neighbours all gathered around and they commiserated with the farm. And they said, "Oh dear, that's bad news. God is not happy with you." And the next day, soldiers came. And they had orders from the king to enter every home and take the able-bodied into the army to fight a war. And they came to the man's house and they saw his broken leg and they left him behind. And the neighbours gathered around. They said, "Oh, how fortunate you are. God has blessed you." Of course, there will be good days. There will be bad days. There will be days when we live in the sun and there will be days when we live in the darkness. Neither are reasons to suppose that God is blessing us or cursing us. We will encounter these things. The important thing is that when we do encounter them, we recognize that we are safest in the boat with Jesus. Walking or sailing with him does not guarantee smooth waters. No immunity from grief. No assurance of material comfort. From our passage this morning from Corinthians, you saw what a terrible time those early disciples had as they preached the gospel. The things that they had to endure. However, our Christian trust enables us, whatever life throws at us, it enables us not to be broken, so that we become better people through those adversities and not bitter people. Better, not bitter. And the disciples in the boat were failing to trust, and for them the situation appeared to be hopeless. Their feelings of fear were overriding everything, and they lashed out at Jesus, accusing him of not caring. We cannot choose what the future holds. It will come and it will bring with it sunshine and clouds, and into every life some rain must fall. We can affect the future by godly living, but we cannot choose it. We have to face whatever comes along. However, we can choose to trust. Trust is not a feeling, it is a choice. It's a decision for each one of us to take. We choose to trust in Jesus. Amen.